From the land of Grand Hyde of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of September 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Daryl Good will be here to talk a little bit about marketing and corn and what the prospects are for higher prices. He thinks hang on at least until next spring sometime, and probably only if there's an acreage shift in the United States. And then we'll take a look at the weather forecast to that with the guys up at Risk Pulse in Chicago. And along the way, we'll hear an update of the agricultural news for the afternoon on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, December corn settled a quarter higher at $3.37 and a quarter. The March at $3.47 and a half, up a quarter. Next year's December, $3.77 and a half, three quarters higher. November beans up 6.5 cents at $9.72 and a half. The January 6.5 higher at $9.77 and three quarters. Next year's Novi's at $9.59 and three quarters, finished 7 cents higher. Bean oil up 85 cents. Bean meal down $1.80. Wheat futures finished the December up three quarters at 404. July for the soft red at 448, down a penny and a half. July hard red at 453 and a half, three quarters lower. Live cattle futures in the October, 5 cents lower at 107.82 and a half. Feeders 135.37 and a half, 12 and a half lower in the SEPs. October at 131.80, down $1.15. And lean hogs for the October at $54.87 and a half, down 60 cents. Now here to talk about these numbers is Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, it's a good day to be outside, a great day. I'm sure many producers are harvesting. I think you probably heard from a few and probably have some reports about what the size of this crop really looks like. What do you hear from around the Midwest?
Well, mainly corn throughout the Central Belt here. Seems like you get into Indiana, over in Wayne's territory, there's a lot more bean activity, for say. You know, bean yields, for the most part, relatively strong, 60 to 75 bushels. So they're pleasantly surprised there thus far. Corn-wise, still kind of strong for the most part. You know, a lot of 230, 240, 220s. Not quite as much as what they had hoped for. You know, expectations were a little bit higher. Theme continues to be better than last year, but not as good as 2014. Probably where the strongest yields are coming in, it seems to be in northern Illinois. You know, still early yet, but, you know, some 250, 260s, and of course they've been on the short side of the stick here over the last few years, so it seems like the guys in northern Illinois are quietly happy thus far.
Surprisingly, I think just a bit. Soybeans are higher today again. Does this come along with any news in the marketplace that supports a higher fundamental move in this soybean market?
Well, several factors. One, probably the weekend news coming in from a holiday in Asia. Malaysia palm oil strong. We saw the bean oil on fire here today at the expense of soybean meal. And so that sort of spilled over and bled into the soybean complex in early trade. And of course, we're continuing to see just kind of a slow harvest on beans as a nation. This afternoon's harvest progress is expected to be around 4%. And ideas are that we need to continue to keep the flow of the beans to the Gulf to fulfill the export book we have in place. The shipment showed that we only shipped out about 27 million bushels of beans. With the large sales we have on the books, that pace needs to pick up fairly quickly to fill up the motorboats we have waiting to get those off to Asia. The other thing is continued spread activity by the funds. They still like buying beans, selling corn, buying beans and selling the wheat here for a moment, Todd.
There's not a lot of carry in the bean market. Does this mean that producers, once they get into the field, probably ought to go ahead and market? And is there any reason to go ahead and make sales even before that happens?
There's nothing wrong with moving beans from a profitability point of view. If the yields continue to be strong, that's not a bad return. Transfer ownership to someone else, let them have them. The bean demand's kind of front-loaded. We feel that once we get in through this fall, early winter, that this focus will shift to the southern hemisphere. If we don't have any real problems or concerns in the southern hemisphere, this bean market might be stagnant. We kind of recommend moving some beans, especially particularly if we'd have some type of known move up to close to $10, let someone in the house have them, and have a little bit of re-ownership on paper. So if we do see some type of concern this winter, you can participate that way. It's awful easy to sell the beans, so we do recommend a little bit of replacement.
How about your recommendations for corn?
That's kind of a two process or two different scenarios. Commercial storage, look at the minimum storage, the cost of putting in storage, and the fact that maybe we could back and fill here 10, 12 cents, it's kind of a little bit of a concern. So for commercial storage, even if they carry the market, kind of recommend maybe moving some of it. Also, if you're in the western half of Illinois, disease concerns, diplodia especially, if you're not at a rejection level, I don't know if it's worth taking that risk. Move it. Do some type of replacement strategy. But, if you got some pretty good quality corn, if they're carrying the corn market, might want to, go ahead and store that. You could actually buy some very reasonable put options to put a floor under you to give you a little protection in case the thing does not giddy up and go for, say, and try to take advantage of the seasonal up or appreciation basis as we move into middle of December. So there, for bin corn, there's some potential there. Even in the big year 2014, we had a sizable rally in corn and beans both. So there's some possibilities here that, we could see some type of recovery here as we move into mid to late December.
Over on the livestock side of the ledger, it was a sell-off day. Why was that the case?
Well, on the pork side, continue to run into some numbers. Cutouts kind of struggled in through here. Commodity funds wanting to get on the pork side. Beef side, looking at cattle and feed report. Placements looking to be high. Marketings are going to be high. When you look at the weekly slaughter numbers, hogs is slightly higher, but beef's running 4.5% above a year ago. So we got ample supplies around. The thing to watch is the export side of the equation. We're sneaking meat out of the country. It's not enough to be a market maker just yet, but that could be a story as we move down the road. And honestly, on the monthly supply demand report, we continue to start to see per capita consumption start to creep up. So these lower prices will hopefully continue to see U.S. consumption of red meat stay on the rise here as we go through this winter.
Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
That, of course, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, Donald Trump's threat to raise tariffs on China, Mexico, and other countries to force them to negotiate better deals with the U.S. could unleash a trade war that would plunge the United States economy into recession and cost more than 4 million private sector jobs, the nonpartisan Peterson Institute for International Economics says in a new analysis of both Trump and Hillary Clinton's trade policy proposals. The think tank took both candidates to task over their opposition to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but said the broader sweep of Trump's proposals were much more dangerous for the United States. Clinton's proposed trade and international economic policies would damage American well-being, primarily, but not solely due to her stated opposition to TPP and to further economic integration. That, according to Adam Posen, the president of the Peterson Institute, in an introduction to a report that was released overnight, The policies proposed by Trump are another matter altogether, he says. His stated approach to the global economy of waging trade wars and protecting uncompetitive special interest would be disastrous for American economic well-being and national security, Posen proposes. We'll call them as we see them. While Clinton's stated trade policy would be harmful, Trump's stated trade policy would be horribly destructive, he said. Well, let's stay with trade and the TPP. President Barack Obama's drive to get leading Republican figures to offer public support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership continues this week when his top trade official visits Texas to discuss the deal with former President George W. Bush and late President Ronald Reagan's right-hand man. U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman will make a stop in Houston today to push for the deal in an event with James Baker, who served as Chief of Staff and Treasury Secretary under Reagan and was Secretary of State under President George H.W. Bush. Froman moves on to Dallas on Tuesday to meet separately with George W. Bush before talking trade at the institute named after the former president. That engagement, scheduled at the invitation of George W. Bush Institute, follows a White House meeting on Friday promoting TPP that included Ohio Governor John Kasich, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. Let's stay with agricultural policy for just a bit longer and look forward at the Washington schedule for this week. On Tuesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee will dive into one of the biggest and most controversial trends in agriculture, corporate consolidation. The committee's hearing will focus on U.S. seed and agricultural and agrochemical industry consolidation, a particularly hot topic, especially after news of Bayer's Monsanto acquisition last week. The hearings will kick off at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. On Wednesday, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack will testify before the Senate Agriculture Committee on the state of the farm economy. It's a safe bet there will be lots of discussion about whether USDA is doing all it can to help farmers struggling with low commodity prices. Vilsack has repeatedly and strongly argued that his department is already using all of the tools at its disposal. And on Thursday, the House Agriculture Committee Subcommittee on Conservation and Forestry will hold a hearing titled Rehabilitation of the Chesapeake Bay, Healing the Bay the Voluntary Way. That one also starts at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And finally today, EPA says glyphosate isn't likely to cause cancer. The EPA has weighed in one more time on the safety of glyphosate, known as Roundup, finding that the controversial chemical is not likely to cause cancer. In a paper released on Friday, the agency said the scientific research on the chemical supports a finding of not likely to be carcinogenic to humans at doses relevant to human health risk assessments. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You know, farmers in the United States are about to harvest one of their best corn crops ever, and prices are really low. They may need to hang on to that crop for a while if they want a better offer, and that could take a shift to soybeans next spring. The United States Department of Agriculture judges this year's corn crop to be a record breaker. If it all comes in as predicted in USDA September reports, there will be none bigger, and the market believes it so far. The price of corn has dropped about $1 a bushel since earlier in the summer. This price isn't likely to change much, thinks Darrell Good, until some new information comes along, probably in one of the USDA reports. And that might not be until next spring.
As long as we have that kind of carryover prospects, the market sees no reason to push corn prices higher to reduce consumption. The big response that we'll be looking for is acreage in the U.S. next year. Does the lower corn price relative to soybean prices now result in some acreage shift away from corn to soybeans here next year? And perhaps would give us a little relief on the supply side of the corn market.
The shift, if it comes, would be farmers responding to market signals. Right now, the price of soybeans compared to corn suggests farmers in the U.S. should seriously consider changing up next year's crop mix, planting more soybeans. As for marketing this year's corn crop, well, Darrell Good says it's a waiting game for corn and may very well be directly related to the acreage response.
Corn, I think, again, there's some carry in the market, not huge. Prices remain fairly low. You'd say storage is maybe a better option for corn, but probably have to plan on storing that after the first of the year, maybe into the spring of the year, before we can really anticipate much of a rebound in spot prices.
Daryl Good writes about the commodity markets each Monday. The articles are posted to the Farm Doc Daily website. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the cash grain market from the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. Carolyn White now joins us. Good afternoon to you, Carolyn.
Good afternoon.
Are you busy there today?
We are very busy today. It's a good day, and corn and beans are in the green, and so that's even better.
Yeah, so are you offering incentives? Is this the reason that you're busy, or is it just that farmers are ready to roll?
Basically, we do have half price drying today, but we will not have half price drying tomorrow. But guys are rolling, and providing this weather can just stay dry, I think this will be a very, very busy week for us.
And what's moisture like on average coming in on the corn crop?
Moisture is anywhere from 19 to 23, seems to be coming down. You know, there's not a lot of humidity out there today, so that is good, and that's what we're seeing so far today.
So things are coming across the scales pretty quickly. I understand that you've been moved a little further this year for your parking spaces. Is that right? Are you out in the grass now?
We are out in the grass right now. Yeah, they're getting the pile ready, so we're expecting a big crop here.
I don't recall that that's ever happened before. Usually you park, I think, somewhere on the lot, but in the grass, is that further out? Have you got more storage?
If we pile corn, typically we park in the grass, so we were last year as well.
Yeah, so you've got yourselves all set up to take in a lot. How are the trains and their availability this early in the year?
Knock on wood, I think things are going pretty good as we had hoped and anticipated. And as we know, that could quickly change. But I think right now we're doing very well.
What are the buyers and you thinking about the price of soybeans and why it's continued to rally over the past several sessions?
Beans were follow through from Friday. I don't know. I mean, we're hearing, you know, the bean table is kind of the yin and the yang. I think we're going to have some good bean yields as well as demand, but if the overall yield per acre is going to come down nationally, I think trade's watching that pretty close, so I think that's part of it. Beans were up 12 cents earlier in the session today. Now we've sold off a little bit, up just 6. The dollar is a little bit weaker today, so I think that had helped commodities. Corn just up a quarter of a cent pretty much down the row here. So,
and what are your bids for the day?
Our cash bids for September, October, November corn, 317. January 327, March 333, and fall of 17, 352. For soybeans, September, October, November, 952. January 953, March 956, and fall of 17, 935. And a cash wheat bid 366, and for July of 17, 428.
Hey, thanks so much, Carolyn. We appreciate you being with us.
You bet. Thank you, sir.
Carolyn White is with the Andersons. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's turn our attention to the weather, and we'll check that out with Risk Pulse's Mark Russo. He's in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful day. It was a great weekend. And I'm wondering what the rest of this week looks like, because it doesn't feel all that much like September, at least not at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely, Todd. It's certainly more like summer, you know, a little difference with sunrise and sunset times. Also, overnight temperatures aren't quite as high as what we saw midsummer, but then again, we're not that far off. And the way that this trend of kind of endless summer has been here, it looks like that's going to continue, even as, you know, officially we change the seasons from summer to fall, we're going to continue to see above normal temperatures here across, actually across much of the country, but specifically here in the Midwest, with high temperatures generally in the 80s here all week long, within a brief cool down over the weekend, but still remaining above normal. As far as rainfall chances are concerned, there will be some rain activity over the next several days across the far northern Corn Belt, particularly in areas of like northern Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. But for much of Illinois, it's actually on the dry side from now through Friday. So for any harvest progress planned overall, the next 5 days looks really good. We do see some activity here picking up as we go into later in the weekend and on into next week. A little bit here in Illinois, but there will be additional rains in areas of the north and the far northern and then the western belt. And it's really this western part of the Midwest as well as the plains that's going to be on the active side. So for any harvest progress taking place there, certainly it'll be on the slow side in areas of Iowa, Nebraska, even up into Minnesota. That's where most of the rains will be. And then those rains extend southward and southwest into the plains region, which continues to just significantly boost soil moisture and overall soil moisture reserves for the upcoming winter wheat planting.
Does it look like a wet fall for the western part of the Corn Belt?
Well, it certainly is going to be starting out that way here, Todd, and one of the reasons for that, one of the reasons why it's been on the wet side here of late is because of this tropical component, and at times we've had these feeds coming directly off the tropics, and right now we have Hurricane Paine out in the Pacific, just southwest of the Baja Peninsula. It's going to be tracking up into the northern Baja Peninsula, and those remnants over time are going to move into the plains region and into the western Midwest, and so we've seen this other times with tropical activity, and then when the feed hasn't been out of the Pacific, it's been out of the Gulf of Mexico, and so we continue to have warmer than normal water temperatures. That's been one of the reasons for these tropical systems, and that takes a while for those SSTs to cool down. So yeah, at least going into October, and it looks like this theme will continue to be with us. It's not the whole Midwest, but really plains in western Midwest.
Thanks so much, Mark. Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We're in the midst of a very quiet fall fun drive, and if you make a pledge of support right now, willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. We have a group of friends that will double your money. So do it right now. We'll make sure that it's a quiet drive. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's a Monday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.